Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. This is God's holy word. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Boys and girls, I wonder at your house if there is a place, maybe in your room or somewhere else in your house, that you keep special things. A safe and secure spot that you have so that things you want to protect and keep from getting harmed can be put. Maybe it's a secret place that no one else knows, and that's all the better for keeping those things safe. Do you have a place that you guard? Well, let me tell you that the Bible says that for every one of us, there is a place that we should guard, a place that has things so precious and so important that we should always be keeping watch over it, a place that your worst enemy knows all about and wants to break into and wreck. It's a place out of which everything else in your life comes. Everyone has this place, but not everyone is careful about it. You brought that place with you tonight. That place is your heart. That place is your heart. Solomon, the wise father, while he was concerned with every part of his son's life, had a special concern for his son's heart. And when we read that word heart in Hebrew, it means the inner man. It refers to who you really are. It involves your mind and your will and your emotions. It is the real you in the deepest places. And with a focus on his son's heart, Solomon says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We considered earlier in Proverbs 4 when Solomon said, in all your getting, get wisdom. Remember, we saw how life is full of getting. It's full of acquiring things. But Solomon said, in all your getting that you're going to be doing, get wisdom. Well, there's a similar way of speaking here in Proverbs 4:23, when Solomon says, in all your guarding, literally, guard your heart. There are many things in life that we want to keep safe, that we want to protect, things that are valuable and we don't want them to come to harm. But Solomon says, in all your guarding, in all the things that you want to keep safe, guard your heart. And so the New International Version translates, above all else, guard your heart. Above everything else, you may be concerned to guard and protect and preserve. Keep watch over your heart. And Solomon here is very emphatic. He doubly emphasizes that duty. Two synonyms are used in succession. So he says, guard, guard, watch, watch. And when it's repeated in that way, surely it speaks to us of the difficulty of the duty. In your guarding, guard. And also it speaks of the danger of neglecting this duty. Guard, guard. Now I think when we hear about guarding our hearts, we must think about our hearts, each one of us. What is in them to guard and protect? If Solomon says, guard your heart, doesn't it beg the question, well, what is in my heart anyway that should be guarded? This is the first question. Do you know your heart? Do you take time to think about your heart? Or are you just thinking about things out there and around you? Instead of ever taking the time quietly in front of God's word to think about your heart. It's not an easy thing to know your heart. It says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart is a deep and dark place. Then in verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, goes on to say, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. We need to know what's in our hearts. Ultimately, only God can help us to know what's in our hearts and reveal us, show to us what our hearts are really like. And he does that by his word and spirit. As we read the word of God, we must, oh, this is what is in my heart. This is what God sees is there. I don't see my heart as I ought to see it, but God can see it. It's just like going to the hospital. I can't see into my physical heart now. I don't know how clogged my arteries are. I don't know how my valves are working. I need a heart specialist with special instruments and tools to be able to look inside my heart. Well, how much more spiritually? I need God and his word to show me what my heart is like. I can't simply say, well, my heart must be okay because I think it's okay. We need God's verdict on our hearts. And the first thing, friends, that we see in Scripture is that what we need are new hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Sin has poisoned and brought death to our very hearts, the deepest part of who we are. That's why the Bible says we need new hearts. And that's just what God does in his grace. Jesus said, you must be born again. And that's what God can do and does do for his people. He says in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, so we can have a heart that's renewed by grace and being restored more and more to be the kind of heart that God wants it to be. The Puritan John Flavel once said, the heart of man is the worst part of him before it is regenerated, and it is the best part afterward. It is the seat of his principles and the fountain of his actions. The eye of God is, and the eye of man ought to be, especially fixed upon it. The heart is the most important thing about us. Who we are in our hearts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And God can give us a new heart by grace in Jesus Christ. But you see how important the heart is. Even after receiving a new heart, we need to keep guarding the heart and watching the heart and keeping the heart. Charles Spurgeon said about the heart, it is the metropolis of our manhood, the citadel and armory of our humanity. Let the chief fortress surrender to the enemy, and the occupation of all the rest must be an easy task. It's your heart that is so important. That's why the psalmist, in the Psalms, we read in Psalm 25:20, such an encouraging prayer, an important prayer. He says, guard my life. He's praying to God. Literally, he says, guard my soul. Guard my heart. We have to pray that God would do that. It's so important. It's such an important and difficult duty. We could never do it on our own. He prays that God would guard his life and rescue him. We are called to guard, but that's only possible in God's strength. And that's what God promises he'll do. He watches over his vineyard. He waters it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. Isaiah 27:2. The power is God's. He has the power to give a new heart, and it is his power that we need to guard our hearts. The power is God's, one writer said, but the duty is still ours. The heart is the citadel of man. It is the central fort in your life. You remember John Bunyan? He's known for writing Pilgrim's Progress. He also wrote another book called Holy War, The Holy War. I know some of you have been reading it. Do you know what the Holy War centers around? A place called man's soul, right? Man's soul. And Bunyan says in his introduction, man's soul, it was the very seat of war. That's where the battle is. That's the citadel. That's the fortress in your life, your heart. Charles Bridges says, if the citadel be taken, the whole town surrenders. Let the sentinel never be sleeping at his post. You know, once we have a new heart, then the enemies of our soul is especially interested in seeing our hearts fall, isn't he? There are special attacks that come to believers, trying to attack the very heart of man. Let the sentinel, Bridges says, never be sleeping at his post. I read a book recently by a former Green Beret named John Plaster, and he describes his training as an Army Special Forces soldier, a Green Beret. And he says in part of that training toward the end, it became especially difficult to stay awake when pulling your hour on guard while your teammates slept. And that led to my team's worst night in phase one training. With only one more day to go, a teammate on guard failed to challenge an approaching instructor. He had probably fallen asleep, but wouldn't admit it. And the instructor himself wasn't sure. If he had, he would have been out of the program immediately. But he says the angry instructor led him and the three men closest to him, including myself, to a small clearing illuminated by the full moon. Four good men were killed tonight, he seethed, because this man failed to do his duty. Do you know what you have to do now? He studied our blank faces. You're going to bury your dead. With his heel, he scraped a square on the ground. You'll dig 6 feet deep, 6 feet wide, and 6 feet long. Each of us knew that with our small entrenching tools, we'd be digging all night. The army knows how serious it is to sleep on your watch, to be sleeping when you should be watching. Means that people will die. It's so serious. Do we treat being watchful over our hearts with the same seriousness? Solomon did. The Holy Spirit of God does. That's why it's written here. Above all else, in all your guarding, guard your heart. Why is it so important? Solomon adds the reason here to the command in verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The Hebrew word there means to go out, to go forth, to produce. It can mean offspring. But many translations, many English translations, use that imagery, that idea coming out of this word of springs, like springs of water. The New American Standard. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The New King James Version, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is why it's so important, because all of the rest of our lives flow out of our hearts. The way that rivers ultimately flow out of a spring somewhere. Mighty rivers that can do so many things. It all comes from a spring. You can trace it back to where that river starts. And that's what Solomon is saying is true of your heart. That it is the spring of your whole life. That everything else about you originates in your heart. We've already considered the heart is where life must be. That's why we need new hearts. Or there is no real blessed life at all. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? All the rest of life ultimately won't matter if you don't have a new heart. Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. There must be life there. But then, as Solomon says, we must see that life flows out of our heart like waters flow from a spring. Just look at what is affected by the heart, what flows from the heart. And this is certainly to be connected in our thinking. Look at the verses that follow. Verse 24, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. What flows out of your heart? The things that you say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he speaks about guarding your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Then he goes on to speak about the mouth in verse 24. He speaks about the eyes in verse 25. What you look at flows out of your heart. He speaks about the feet in verse 26. Where you go, what you do, the pathways of your life. Where does that come from? Your heart. The heart, as one writer said, is the great vital spring of the soul, the fountain of actions. As the spring is, so the streams will be. That's why James says in James 3:11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Knows that what's in the heart makes its way out. And when you see things on the outside, it's a way of knowing what's on the inside. Jesus pointed this out repeatedly to the people of his day. Matthew 12:34, people were so concerned with external things. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Mark 7:21, from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Beloved, Proverbs 4:23 is a clear call to us and an emphatic call to us in God's word to focus on our hearts and to guard our hearts, for out of our hearts are the springs of life. You know, where we moved to where we live now, south of Russell, right away we noticed when we were living in the house, the water tasted like sulfur. There was a sulfury taste in the water. But imagine us trying to deal with that problem, boys. Imagine if you moved to a house and there was sulfur in the water and you taste it. Sulfur makes your water taste like rotten eggs. It's not very nice. What would you do? Imagine us trying to deal with that problem. What if I would have said to my wife and to the kids, this water tastes bad. You know, I pour myself a glass of water. This water tastes bad. Let's get new cups and new glasses to drink from. That will solve the problem. That's what we need. New glasses, new cups, different ones. You think that would have helped? Mm-mm. Or I could have said, maybe we need new taps. I bet it's the taps that are the problem. These taps that were in the house before, we'll just change all the taps. And then the water will be okay. What do you think? Mm-mm. Probably not. Well, maybe it's something more important. Maybe I could have said, let's change all the pipes in the house. Every pipe. Every old pipe has to go. If we change all the pipes, then the water will be good. You're already shaking your head. No. You really think, no? No. You're right. All those things wouldn't help, would they? Why? Because the problem is in the well. The problem is in the well. You know, that's what God is reminding of us here tonight. We need to remember that as we think about our lives, as we think about the things that we say and the things that we do this or that which is sinful and wrong. We say things we shouldn't say. We look at things we shouldn't look at. We want things that we shouldn't be wanting. And we need to stop those things and be doing what is right. But you see, this passage reminds us, those things flow from the heart. Those things flow from the heart. And the real change and remedy must be sought in the heart. You know, sometimes people, there are issues in their lives and problems in their lives, but they try to fix it in a superficial way. And they think, well, maybe if I just move to a new place, it will be better. Maybe if I just change my job or change my husband or my wife, even in our culture, people are thinking, that's like changing the taps in your house. The real change and remedy must be sought in the heart. Because usually long before our eyes or our tongues or our feet wander, our hearts have wandered. We have let down the guard in our hearts. That's the problem. That's why Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it are the wellsprings of life. Guard the heart first. Nurture the heart. And the rest of life will be transformed. Guarding the heart is the issue, primarily as we fight the good fight of the Christian life. You know, you may be at school or at work tempted to lie or to cheat to get ahead. Those temptations are all around you at school and at work. How is your heart? How is your heart when you're faced with those things? You know, you young people, as you're growing up and your parents are encouraging you to find good friends. The book of Psalms, Psalm number 1 speaks of that. This passage, Proverbs speaks about all the people that you're associating with. Who do you want to hang around with? And as you get older, the relationships that you enter into with guys or girls and those sorts of issues. And you hear from your parents and you know from God's word that we shouldn't be developing close relationships with unbelievers and intimate relations with unbelievers. And of course, that's true. But when I came to this, I always remember, but you know, the issue is the heart. The issue isn't just don't do that, don't be in that relationship. The issue is the heart. Because if our hearts were right, and if our hearts were guarded, if our hearts were close to the Lord and seeking to grow closer and closer, then why would we even want to enter into those relationships? Why would we even want to spend so much time with those friends who are drawing us away from the Lord, who are not helping us grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? We wouldn't even want it then if our heart was guarded and right. Well, how do we guard our hearts? On the one hand, being on guard in our hearts means being on guard against sin. Sometimes in the history of warfare, when enemies were retreating from territory, in older times, they would throw dead animals down the drinking water wells. You know why? You can imagine. That poisons the well, so that the enemy couldn't use that well anymore. Well, friends, sin is death. It poisons the well. We need to be on guard against sin. We need to guard our hearts against the encroachment of sin. Nehemiah 2, we read that Nehemiah went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. We need to do that regularly with our hearts, as it were, riding around our hearts, looking around our hearts to see where there may be breaches in the wall, to see where we may have particular weaknesses. We all do. And your weakness may not be my weakness. We all need to ask the Lord to help us to know our hearts, to be like Nehemiah, riding around the wall, to see where there may be breaches in the wall and low spots. We need to remember, as we consider the heart as the wellspring of our life, that the streams that flow out are also the streams that lead in. The streams that flow out are also the streams that lead in. I was reminded of the story of David in 2 Samuel 5:8, when David is trying to capture Jerusalem. On that day, David said, anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach the lame and the blind, who are David's enemies. There's lots there we could think about and get distracted about, but here's the point. Those water tunnels ran both ways. There are ways for water to go in, to go out, but there were also ways for enemies to get in. What we see, what we talk about, where we go, not only flows out of our hearts, not only shows what's in our hearts, these things also further affect our hearts. The streams that go out are the very accesses that the enemy has to our hearts. They are ways that the poison can get in, that the enemy can get in, as well as being the effluent of evil that often comes out. We need to be guarding our hearts, guarding what goes in. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them, Proverbs 22:5. You need to be on guard in your heart. You need to be like a watchman, a sentinel. And whatever comes to your heart, you need to say, halt! Who goes there? Halt! Who goes there? You don't just have the thing, oh, I can watch anything, I can look at anything, I can say anything, I can go anywhere. These things have a way of getting into our hearts. Halt, who goes there? And you know what sentinels used to say, guards used to say? Friend or foe. Friend or foe. Everything that you're looking at. Friend or foe. The things that you're reading, the things that you're watching on television, the movies that you're watching, the books that you're reading, friend or foe. The places that you're going, the people that you're associating with, friend or foe, be on guard. need to watch against sin. But positively, as Flavel said, guarding the heart also means diligently and constantly using all holy means to preserve our soul from sin and to maintain its sweet communion with God. We need to be dying to sin by God's grace, but also being made more and more alive to God, to build up the strength of the walls of our hearts, to build up our hearts themselves. How do we do that? By being in Scripture, by being in the Word of God, guards your heart. Prayer, worship, the sacraments, Christian fellowship, being involved in Christian ministry, putting your gifts and talents into practice. These are all ways that guard our hearts, like building up the walls of our hearts. Beloved, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it are the wellsprings of life. And we know the kind of sin and evil that can come out of our hearts. But by God's grace, when we're guarding our hearts, and our hearts are filled with His Word and His Spirit, then the wellsprings of our life will be beautiful. Then it will be waters that will refresh others and be a blessing to others and be useful to God and His kingdom. When our hearts are guarded, when the spring is pure, we'll be refreshing springs that flow out of us for our own blessing and for the blessing of those around us. Jesus said, when a man is filled with the Spirit, be like living waters pouring out of his heart. Beloved, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. John Calvin's motto was this: to God, I offer my heart promptly and sincerely. That's the best way to guard your heart, to always be offering it to God, saying, God, you gave me this heart. You gave me this new heart. It's yours. It's not mine to do with as I please. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Take my heart. Use my heart. Fill my heart. Change my heart. We ought to be constantly, promptly, and sincerely offering our hearts to God. With this comfort and encouragement, Deuteronomy 4:9, only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. If we guard our hearts, we'll be a blessing from one generation to another, and the springs will flow from fathers to sons and mothers to daughters, to the praise of His glorious grace.